And now, for our feature presentation. Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind. Graphic Audio presents Rogue Angel by Alex Archer. Rogue Angel number 11, Provenance. Narrated by Nanette Savard, with performances by Colleen Delaney, Peter Stray, Jeff Baker, James Konacek, Terrence Aselford, Richard Rowan, David Coyne, James Lewis, Thomas Penny, Andy Clements, Dylan Lynch, Dolores King-Williams, Karen Carbone, and Ken Jackson.
Anya Creed felt eyes sticking to her like clammy clumps of seaweed. She felt exposed in the clinging sheath of flame-colored silk Garin Braden had picked out for her. Her long chestnut hair had been swirled atop her head by the cruise ship's expert staff of hairdressers. She suspected it made her look as if she had a soft swirl ice cream cone for a head. Around her slender neck, she wore a delicate gold chain with an emerald pendant that Garin assured her would bring out the green highlights in her ambergreen eyes. She knew it was exquisitely tasteful, just too small to be gaudy, but she could practically feel the weight of the money it had cost. It felt like an anchor. Garin looked up at her as she was presented by a bowing and scraping steward.
How good of you to join me, Anya.
As if I had a choice, Garin.
There's always a choice, my dear. That is one thing life has taught me in no uncertain terms.
As always, Anya felt conflicted about him, as she smiled and accepted the menu from the head waiter. In his immaculate tuxedo with the star sapphire stick pin, his black hair and goatee and dancing black diamond eyes, Garin was admired by every woman in the room. He was charming, well-read, and witty. As CEO and majority shareholder of the monster oil company Europetro, he was practically richer than God. He was what most women in her position would consider one hell of a catch. But hell was the operative word. That was the catch. First of all, Anya had sworn off having affairs with men significantly older than she was. Not that he looked over the limit. Anya was in her mid-20s. Garin appeared to be in his early 30s. But his real age belied that appearance by centuries. And then, of course, there was the fact that, while he sometimes helped her, indeed, she was paying off one of those debts at that moment, he also had the unfortunate habit of trying, at entirely unpredictable intervals, to kill her. Around them, people chatted and drank wine from immaculate crystal and ate five-star food. The cruise ship Ocean Venture was the most modern and luxurious ocean liner yet built.
I can't believe I let you blackmail me to serve as arm candy for some business negotiation.
Blackmail is an ugly word. Besides, I believe extortion is more correct under the circumstances. You really must try the Pinot Noir, dear. A splendid vintage. In any event, if you wish to keep your scruples inviolate, you can always choose to believe that you are here of your own free will. It's true, of course.
Garin ordered for them. Anya didn't mind. It was the role he was playing. She was secure enough in her own independence not to feel threatened, least of all by him. She did have something he wanted, and she did keep it coyly and carefully hidden from public view. But it wasn't what most people would think. It was a complicated dance they danced, The food was excellent, but Anya ate mechanically. On this evening of the first full day at sea in the Caribbean, she was preoccupied. The reason she was there was that Garin had called in a favor, a big one. A save-your-life favor, not to mention the life of an innocent girl who'd depended on her. Of course, in the process of doing her that favor, he had increased his wealth and influence almost exponentially. To his mind, that failed to diminish the moral obligation one iota. What was worse, he knew full well it didn't in her mind either.
So why do you have me here?
Reasons of my own.
Oh, come on, Garin. You owe me a better explanation than that.
Perhaps you're right, Anya dear. I have no wish to torment you, after all. I am not a cruel man, you know. I worked that out of my system long ago. Although I'm maintaining a low profile on this voyage, and the world at large still does not know my face, an expensive status to maintain, but well worth the investment, I have a certain image to project to those with whom I'm carrying out a certain most delicate negotiation.
Aren't you concerned about doing that under the noses of the Venezuelans?
The Ocean Venture had just steamed past Aruba in the Netherlands Antilles and was scheduled to make landfall at Willemstad on the island of Curaçao the next morning. Venezuela's north coast lay less than 100 miles to the south.
How do you know those aren't the ones I'm negotiating with? Their oil holdings might prove of interest to Europetro. They certainly do to the Chinese.
Why is it so important to have me along?
Perhaps I feel the need of additional security. You make a most exemplary bodyguard, as well as a, shall we say, disarmingly lovely one.
That seems rather hard to believe. You can afford to travel with a phalanx of top security men, and you do. I've spotted a few of them on the boat. Immaculately dressed bald guys with wires in their ears.
It's a ship, not a boat. Without meaning to denigrate your own falcon keenness of perception, don't you think potential evil-wishers can do at least as well spotting such men? Whereas you are an extraordinarily gifted amateur, some of them are lifelong professionals at the craft.
Hello. You're immortal, Garin.
Being immortal doesn't necessarily mean I can't die. It just means I haven't. And of course, there is always my concern, now that you've claimed the sword, that my gift, the one that old rake Rue perversely prefers to consider a curse of immortality, might evaporate.
Anya's blood ran cold. She could never forget that Garin would, if he could, wrest the mystic sword of Joan of Arc away from her and break it to pieces again, as had the English soldiers who had captured St. Joan so many centuries before.